the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. After the news, stay tuned for part two of my conversation with two amazing men, Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, who are truly doing the Lord's work of caring for the least of our brethren. They do so through Hope of the Poor, an amazing organization they co-founded in Nebraska with headquarters in Mexico City and Omaha. The motto is alleviating the poverty of being unloved, and you will hear them tell absolutely riveting tales of the poorest of the poor, whom they try to help in many ways, especially by giving them a sense of their worth and dignity. Don't miss this after the news. And now the highlights of the past week. Sunday, March 3rd, Pope Francis, after praying the Angelus with the faithful in St. Peter's Square, expressed grief for the thousands of dead, the wounded, the displaced, the immense destruction that wreaks pain and suffering on the small and defenseless who see their future compromised in Israel and Palestine. Do we really think we are building a better world in this way? Enough, please. Let us all say, enough, please. Stop the war. Also Sunday at the Angelus, Pope Francis urged all members of the great family of nations to be courageous and to work for disarmament, noting that on March 5th, the International Day for Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Awareness is observed. How many resources are wasted on military expenses that, due to the current situation, sadly continue to increase. I strongly hope the international community understands that disarmament is, above all, a duty. Disarmament is a moral obligation. Monday, March 4th, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis will open the 11th edition of the 24 Hours for the Lord Lenten Initiative on Friday, March 8th, at the Roman parish of St. Pius V. Observed annually in dioceses worldwide on the eve of the fourth Sunday of Lent, the initiative, dedicated to prayer and reconciliation, was inaugurated by Francis at the start of his pontificate. The theme for this year's event is Walking in a New Life, taken from Romans chapter 6. Also Monday, a week-long forum on penitence and forgiveness began in Rome. Organized by the Vatican's Apostolic Penitentiary, the annual internal forum aims to give newly ordained priests, as well as seminarians about to receive holy orders, an opportunity for reflection and in-depth training on the sacrament of reconciliation. During the forum, specialists from many different disciplines address the participants on topics ranging from indulgences to the relationship between confession and artificial intelligence. Tuesday, March 5th, Pope Francis encouraged aid organizations operating in Latin America to embrace the cross and to unite themselves to Jesus' mission of concretely assisting those in need. His words came in a message to a meeting sponsored by CELAM and the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development that aims to foster solidarity and synodal cooperation between these aid agencies and other institutions. Representatives of the groups are meeting this week in Bogota, Colombia. Francis made it clear that God is at the heart of giving. It is God who gives, said the Pope, while we are only stewards of his gifts, and he gives us all that we have. By recognizing the gratuitousness of God's gift, we avoid becoming slaves to money, relying on false economic security, and focused on administrative efficiency and control. Wednesday, March 6th, the general audience was held in a very chilly St. Peter's Square, but Pope Francis circled among the faithful for a while in the white papal jeep. He dedicated the catechesis to pride, calling it the first of the capital sins, and for the ancient writers, the queen of all vices. This week, the cycle of catechesis on virtues and vices ended. The Pope noted he still had a bit of a cold and said a priest from the Secretariat of State would read the catechesis. Sooner or later, said the papal text, pride comes before the fall, and this can lead, by God's grace, to a salutary humility. In the Magnificat, he said, Mary sings of God, who humbles the proud and exalts the lowly. He quoted the Apostle James, who wrote, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. May this Lenten season, said the catechesis, be an opportunity for us to conquer pride and embrace humility, so that we may draw ever closer to God and receive His grace in abundance. The Pope's ongoing mobility issues could be seen several times during the morning. He was to leave the square in the papal jeep, but he could not get up into the jeep and was escorted away in his wheelchair. For the rest of the week, most of Pope Francis's scheduled remarks were either handed over to the people he was receiving or read by an assistant. On several occasions, he actually told his guests he still had a bit of a cold. Also Wednesday, Pope Francis sent a message of support to an event marking International Women's Day, calling for respect for the equal and complementary dignity of women and men. This event is celebrated annually on March 8th. The conference, organized by Caritas Internationalis and the Australian and British embassies to the Holy See, was entitled Women Leaders Towards a Brighter Future. Thursday, March 7th, as the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors held its plenary assembly, Pope Francis took the opportunity to invite its members to continue strengthening the Church's efforts to prevent abuse. He admitted that those who work in the safeguarding field could grow discouraged as they witness the scandal of abuse and the suffering of victims. Yet, he said, our commitment must not wane as the Church seeks to restore the fabric of broken lives and to heal victims' pain. Also Thursday, Pope Francis addressed an international conference on women in the Church and emphasized the importance of recognizing women's contributions while calling for unity and education to promote women's rights and dignity. The contribution of women is more necessary than ever, he said, acknowledging the challenges of hatred, violence, and ideological conflicts in today's world. Francis spoke about the urgent need for women's contributions, which he said are marked by tenderness and compassion, in order to foster unity and restore humanity's true identity. Also Thursday, Pope Francis received in private audience Jakov Milatović, the president of Montenegro. Also Thursday, on the 750th anniversary of Thomas Aquinas' death, Pope Francis praised the thinker's fresh and valid insights about our globalized world, dominated by legal positivism and casuistry. He did so in a letter to participants in a workshop organized by the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences on the theme, Aquinas' Social Ontology and Natural Law in Perspective. The saint's body is in Toulouse, France, at the Jacobin Monastery, whereas his skull is in the Cathedral of Priverno, Italy, not far from Fossanova, where he died on March 7th, 1274. Also March 7th, Pope Francis sent a video message on the occasion of the solidarity concert Cadena 100 for Peace, organized by the Spanish bishops for their Catholic radio, which aims to promote peace and to help those who suffer. The Pope said, I thank the artists who have united talent with such generosity to help innocent victims, but above all because they have shown that art and music can become messengers and instruments of peace to build bridges. Friday, March 8th began in the Paul VI Hall with the third Lenten sermon given by the preacher of the papal household, Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa. On Friday, Pope Francis met with future priests in an annual course on the internal forum and invited them to administer the sacrament of reconciliation with a focus on, quote, the sweetness of God's love. May this year of preparation for the Jubilee see the Father's mercy blossom in many hearts and places, and so God may be ever more loved, recognized, and praised. I encourage you, he said, to live each confession as a unique and unrepeatable moment of grace, and to generously give the Lord's forgiveness with affability, fatherhood, and dare I say, even with maternal tenderness. Friday, the Holy Father also received the bishops of Gabon on their Ad Limina visit. Well, those are the news highlights, but now stay right here for a Q&A and my conversation with Craig Joring and Danny Ledger of Hope of the Poor. Welcome to the Q&A segment of this week's Vatican Insider. A listener wrote saying he occasionally sees the title Apostolic Nuncio in a Vatican-related news story, and he asked me what or who a nuncio is. In the simplest terms, a nuncio is a papal ambassador, the man representing the Holy See to a country or even to an organization such as the United Nations. They are always appointed by the Holy Father to their post and always have the rank of archbishop. If a nuncio is not already a bishop by some chance, they are then ordained. The nuncio's office is known as a nunciature. It might on occasion be in the nuncio's residence, and it would also be known as a nunciature. Nuncios do not represent the Vatican. They represent the Holy See. The Holy See denotes the moral and spiritual authority exercised by the Pope through the central government of the Catholic Church, that is, the Roman Curia. Though this government is located in Vatican City, Holy See is by no means synonymous with Vatican. A nuncio is the dean of the diplomatic corps accredited to a country. His responsibilities include the following. 1. In the area of church-state relations, he collaborates with governments for the betterment of mankind and advancement of peace. 2. Regarding the nomination of bishops in a country, he submits names to the Holy See after delicate research and recommendations. He usually submits 3 names, and this document or paper is known as a terno. 3. A nuncio gives aid and counsel to bishops without interfering in local dioceses. 4. A nuncio develops working relations with episcopal conferences. And 5. He advises and assists major superiors of religious communities of pontifical rank. In all he does, a nuncio acts under the guidance of and according to the instructions of the Cardinal Secretary of State, to whom he is directly responsible for the execution of the mandate entrusted him by the Supreme Pontiff.
This is Father Lawrence Liu. Catholic Radio is a precious gift because it places a Catholic voice in your homes, in your cars, wherever you might be. St. Dominic would pray as he walked and as he traveled throughout the length and breadth of Europe. Now, as we travel and wherever we go, Catholic Radio can help us to keep our minds focused on the things of God.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch the EWTN series, specials, events, and news streaming live from anywhere in the world. Streaming is available on the EWTN app for Apple, Android, and Amazon devices. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Have you ever heard someone say, I accept some of the things the church teaches, but I could never embrace the entire creed because there are some things in it that I just don't have any use for? Well, G.K. Chesterton says, you might just as well say that there are a great many things in the Encyclopedia Britannica for which you have no use. The church, like the Encyclopedia, is meant for everybody. It's not just for you. It's meant for everybody, which just happens to include you. The Catholic Church is a combination of things that are nevertheless one thing. We cannot accept only part of it without rejecting all of it.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information and go to EWTNRC.com to discover more books and programs written and inspired by G.K. Chesterton.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider and another special story of people doing the Lord's work of caring for the least of His children. Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, co-founders of Hope of the Poor, tell us more riveting stories about their work with the poorest of the poor in Mexico and in Nebraska in the U.S., changing lives, giving hope for a new future to so many people. I start this piece by asking both Craig and Danny for their favorite stories of how lives were changed through their selfless dedication to lifting people out of poverty and helping them regain a sense of dignity and of hope. I would love each of you to tell me one of your favorite stories, your favorite interaction with somebody who ended up actually managing a business or something.
Right now I have a lady working with Hope of the Poor. She works for Hope of the Poor full time. She spends her days reaching out to the homeless around the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, which is where I work. I reached out to her and her husband for 5 years and their infant son while they were homeless and drug addicted in front of the Basilica. And for 5 years, I surrounded them with love and acceptance and kept believing in them, kept telling them that their lives mattered, God had a plan for them, and finally they believed it. And so 3 years ago, they moved off the street.
Wow.
And now they're off drugs, and now they spend their days helping other people who were in the same situation they were in to leave the street and to leave drugs.
Wow. Well, and now, Danny, you're not there as much of the year, you just told us, you know, as Craig is, but do you have a special story either from Omaha or from Mexico City that you'd like to share?
Well, I'll share one from Omaha just because Craig shared one of our favorite stories from Mexico. But just this last year, right before Christmas, we had to take a family off the street in Omaha. And they were on the list for maybe getting housing through some of the government programs, but they weren't going to get it in time because the situation that they were in is they had a baby born prematurely.
Oh.
They were living in their van, and they didn't want to be in the shelter because they couldn't stay together, and they had no other housing options because of just different terrible circumstances that had happened to them. And so they were in this situation where they have this baby, it's in the NICU, and they cannot get their baby to take their baby home from the hospital when it would be ready to come home unless they had an apartment.
Of course.
And so Hope of the Poor raised the money, rented them an apartment, and got them in just right before Christmas, got them into their own place, got it furnished for them, and then it was a month later they got to bring home their little baby to their own apartment. And then in the meantime, we're working with this couple to help them get other resources,
sure,
help the husband find a job, and working with us and with other organizations. And it's been a struggle, but it's been beautiful to just see, like, they had no hope, and now they do.
I just wish for a moment that this was television instead of radio so that my listeners could actually see your faces and the joy, the obvious joy, as you tell these stories. Now, you just mentioned, Danny, an important word, and that is resources. And what, when we say resources, most of the time we mean finances. So how does Hope of the Poor finance itself? And then include the website in that because we want people to go to that. You know, Craig?
Our website is hopeofthepoor.org. Every time we receive a donation, we expand our ministry. And so...
Is it on the site, how to donate?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. And I also know the website says you host mission trips. Now, tell us about that and who the missionaries are.
In Mexico City, this year I will host 24 missions of adults who come down and spend 5 days with me serving the poor, and also college students. So,
and how do they sign? How do they know about this to even sign up?
The best way is to contact me, and then I've worked to find a date for them and their church or their group. to come down?
Well, when I post this information and people listen to the show, let me know if there's a surge in volunteers and missionaries. And sometimes bishops and priests go with you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, tell us about your bishop who's accompanying you to Rome. And we're going to talk about your Rome visit in a minute.
Bishop Ed from Albany is here with us. We planned our trip to coincide with a trip he wanted to make, and so we planned the same dates to be here. Bishop Ed has been with us three times in Mexico City.
Schaffenberger.
Exactly. Yes. And he comes and serves the poor as in the most humble way and just loves on the poor and just is in on mission with us for 5 days at a time.
Now, this, I hope I say this correctly, but are people ever, when they find out that who's coming with a mission group or, you know, one of your friends slash assistants, when they find out that person is a priest or, for heaven's sake, a bishop, does that make an impact on them? Or is it just someone else who loves them?
I think it's someone else who loves them. People just want to know that one person loves me, yeah, and cares for me. For me, I had a situation 2 years ago where a whole community was just shocked. I was working with a community of 22 people that make their living in prostitution, and they were homeless. And I'd taken a priest to visit them, and it happened to be Ash Wednesday, and the priest brought the ashes to the people, and the people were shocked. Because no priest had ever been out to,
wow,
to them. And they surrounded the priest after he gave them the ashes. And they asked two questions. They said, "Do you care for us?" And the priest said, "Yes, I care for you.
That's why I'm here."
And the second question is, "Does the church care for us?"
Wow.
And the priest said, "The church cares for you." And then their response as a community was, in that case, we all want to enter the church. And none were in the church. None had been baptized.
Wow.
None, almost none. And very few had received any other, yeah, sacraments.
Another great, great story. Well, you said church. Here we are in the heart. We at the Vatican, just a few meters away from where we are recording. Update us on why you're in Rome and what you hope to be doing in this part of the world.
We dream of bringing expanded Hope of the Poor into the pilgrimage site of Rome to work with the same homeless people that you mentioned earlier, Joan, who are around the Vatican, who are sleeping in the rain every night. And we want to bring a Hope of the Poor mission here and start bringing missions here to Rome to serve the poorest of the poor around the Vatican and around St. Peter's.
So, Danny, you've been meeting with various officials and people in the Vatican to talk about this project, and has the reception, it has to have been positive.
It's been amazing. It's been so beautiful to see how many amazing ministries there are here doing great work with the poor, which is great for Hope of the Poor because we can form partnerships with these great organizations.
Sure.
And then, because especially for us, we want to evangelize not only the poor that we're serving, but the mission guests that are coming with us to Mexico or to Rome so they can have this encounter with Christ and the poor. And then everyone that comes with us on mission will expand that ministry, whatever it is, the,
sure,
different nonprofits or the different parish ministries that are serving the poor. We're going to, for the time that we're here, we'll expand that mission, but also our mission guests will get to encounter Christ in the poor, but also in the beauty of this amazing city and pilgrimage site.
Well, I see a domino effect here. I really do, and I'm sure that both of you know by now that one of the missions, apostolates actually, that the seminarians at the North American College has is helping the poor. EWTN helped work on a film last year about with like three or four of these men and Father Helsdorf as they go out to help the poor and be with them and just make them, hey, we're friends, you know, and you sit down, you have a cup of coffee, you give a cup of coffee to your new friend, you have one yourself or a sandwich, and you just talk about life and answer their questions, and that is making people know that you care, that someone cares. And if they only acquire a shred of that feeling of dignity at the time, it's better than none. So working on that dignity is so important. So I don't know if either of you have a final word. We've pretty much exhausted our time, but, you know, Greg, maybe just kind of a final word to our listeners to make them aware, not only just of Hope of the Poor, but of the poor where they are.
I would say that that the poor matter, and the poor are a gift to us. As a Christian, I believe that it's not an option to serve the poor. I think that we all should be serving the poor. We wear a bracelet that says Matthew 25:40 on it, and we want to live by those words where Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these brothers among you, right, do to me.
Right.
And that's how I want to live my life, and that's why I want to, the way I want to challenge everyone in my life to live their lives.
Well, it's like the apostles when they asked Jesus, and they said, well, wait a minute, when did we clothe you? When did we come and visit you? When did we, and he, you know, basically, when you do it to the one of the least of these, you have done it to me. So I think with that, I want to thank Craig Joring, and I want to thank Danny Ledger for their visit today. I cherish the friendship with these two men. I cherish the idea of what they do, and hope that my listeners can pick up on some of this, and maybe their words might make a little difference in your life. So on that, a heartfelt embrace for your time and your friendship to Craig and to Danny. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Joan.
And Danny.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, God bless you both. And have a great continuation of your time in Rome. And give the bishop our best, okay?
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.